of pain.
Folks, we're going live to Charlotte Mecklenburg, the Police Department press conference in regards to the eight officers shot or
feeling with such a loss. The chief mentioned for the first time we were releasing the name of Deputy Weeks. Let me tell you something about this hero. Thomas Weeks is a Deputy United States Marshal. He was 48 years old. He is survived by his wife, Kelly, and has four children. He was transferred to this district, the Western District of North Carolina, in 2018. So he served 6 years here, although he's been with the agency for some 13 years. We did send out a release with more information along with the photo for you. And I want to make sure that people remember him and the other three officers that have perished in this incident. He was assigned to, as I mentioned, the Western District of North Carolina, but he was also assigned to our Fugitive Task Force. And let me just say something quickly about the task force to understand the context in which they operate. As was mentioned, there are over 16 agencies in the task force that covers North Carolina. We have 56 district task forces, 8 regional task forces around the country, and it is an example of what we've seen yesterday of how local, state, and federal law enforcement come together, share resources, make sure that we're force multiplier, removing those violent and most dangerous from our community and the safety of our community. And that's what happened yesterday. And so we'll give you, in the future, give you more information about the task force, but Deputy Weeks was serving on that task force, as do hundreds, if not thousands, of deputies and officers around the country every day. Even right now as we speak, there are thousands of deputies and task force officers serving our communities, trying to bring to justice those that are responsible for some of the most heinous crimes in our society. And I want you to just pause a moment and please offer your thoughts and prayers and think about them and their families and everybody that suffered yesterday. We didn't just have a bad day for the community. This is a loss for the entire country. I have been in conversations with the Attorney General of the United States, as well as the Deputy Attorney General of the United States, to make sure we offer all resources and support necessary to the police department as they continue, and to our law enforcement partners. And I want to personally thank all the law enforcement officers from the agency that responded. As more and more comes out about this incident, not only will you see how brave they were, you will see examples of that courage and bravery. Let there be no mistake, they represent the best of us. They are truly America's finest, and it's just an honor to serve with them. I will meet with the family later today, a meeting that no leader, director, or police chief ever wants to have. Losing a deputy using task force officers is like losing a family member, because quite frankly, they are family members. I don't have many words at this time other than say that inside my agency that I'm going to ask the men and women of the United States Marshal Service to continue their steadfast commitment to the American people, to continue the outstanding job that you do, and know and witness this amount of support you have. This community, Charlotte Mecklenburg community, has been tremendous. Thank you very much for that. It is not going unnoticed, and I think the entire nation will see that, and we are appreciative for that. Thank you.
Again, folks, we are live at the press conference, Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department. A lot of people from U.S. Marshal's Office, the chief from the Charlotte Mecklenburg. We're going to go right back to the press conference.
Mr. Director, thank you. Our next speaker is Governor, State of North Carolina, Governor Roy Cooper.
Thank you, Lieutenant, Chief, Director, Attorney General, Mayor, fellow North Carolinians. I'm also joined here today with our Secretary of the Department of Public Safety, Eddie Buffalo, and our Secretary of the Department of Adult Correction, Todd Ishii. Yesterday, 8 families had to be told that their loved one had been shot in the line of duty. It was news they hoped would never come. Tragically, 4 of those families have made the ultimate sacrifice. Yesterday, North Carolina and this country lost 4 heroes and saw 4 other heroes wounded. For these members of this U.S. Marshals Fugitive Task Force and the Charlotte Mecklenburg Police on patrol, who responded so quickly and so bravely when help was needed, dangerous assignments are part of the job, but they step up and do it anyway to protect our communities and protect our families. The investigation into this tragic, brutal, deadly attack will result in more answers that we don't know today. And I expect it to find those answers and to help bring to justice people for these needless deaths of these brave officers. We can never, ever fill the void that they leave behind, and we can never fully thank them for what they do to keep us safe. But today, we can remember them and honor their lives, help their families, and support their fellow officers. Among those killed were 4 public servants. 2 of them were state employees, task force members with the Department of Adult Correction, Sam Pelosi and Alden Elliott, U.S. Marshal Thomas Weeks, and Charlotte Mecklenburg police officer Joshua Ayers. Those who died were dedicated to this work, and we're grateful for their bravery and courage. Yesterday, I met with some of the fellow officers and heard stories about these officers who lost their lives. They were good ones, people that you could trust, people who you could count on, and people who would risk their lives. And at the hospital, I also met with some of the families of those killed in the line of duty, and I met one of the wounded officers. What I told them was that the people of North Carolina are grateful for their sacrifice. Together we prayed, together we gave words of comfort. But I know that the emptiness left behind in these families will continue to run deep. And I ask that North Carolinians pray for these families and their law enforcement colleagues who are left behind in this tragedy, and to support those law enforcement officers that they've left behind. Our state will be with you for the next few days, weeks, months, and years ahead. I've received calls from all over the country, from President Biden, from federal and state cabinet secretaries, other governors across the country. They've offered any assistance that we might need. And our state will continue to offer resources and support as needed in the days and weeks ahead. And as we seek to heal and make sense of all of this devastation, as we seek justice, as we work to make our communities safer, I want to offer my deepest thanks to law enforcement at every level who continue to wake up every morning ready to serve despite the dangers that come with it. Our families are thankful. Our communities are thankful. Our state is thankful. May God bless you and the souls we lost. May God bless North Carolina,
Roy Cooper,
and the United States of America.
Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department's press conference.
Thank you, Mr. Governor. Next speaker is the Attorney General for the state of North Carolina, the Honorable Joshua Stein.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Good morning, everyone. Chief Jennings, thank you for convening us to honor these fallen officers. Governor Cooper, thank you for your moving words. U.S. Marshal Director Davis, Mayor Lyles, thank you all for your leadership in this exceptionally trying time. Today is a day of heartbreak in North Carolina. 4 peace officers were killed in the line of duty yesterday and 4 more wounded. CMPD Officer Joshua Iyer, Deputy Marshal Thomas Weeks, and 2 task force officers from the Department of Adult Corrections, Officer Sam Pelosi and Alden Elliott. Although our words are insufficient, we offer our most sincere gratitude for their selfless service, and we mourn their ultimate sacrifice. As we honor these officers, local, state, and federal, we also honor their families, who've now been forced to pay a heavy toll as well. We ask our peace officers to do something that is awe-inspiring, to run into the face of danger that every human urge is telling them to flee. But they do it to keep us safe. They engage the public, they patrol, they investigate, and they make arrests. so that our kids can learn safely at school, play safely in the neighborhood, and sleep safely in their homes. But to serve and protect can come with fatal consequences, as we were tragically reminded yesterday here in Charlotte. The people of Charlotte have suffered an immeasurable loss. But I know Charlotte and all of North Carolina is full of the kind of people who will rally and take care of each other. So even though this city is mourning and in pain today, I'm certain that this community will not only come together to support each other, but to surround the families and friends and colleagues of these officers with the love that they need and deserve. The people of Charlotte are strong and will rise to the occasion. Thank you all. May God bless each of you. Embrace the families of the four murdered officers and heal the four who were injured. Thank you.
That was Attorney General Joshua Stein of North Carolina.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney General. Our next speaker and final speaker is our very own Mayor Vi Lyles, Mayor of the City of Charlotte.
I want to say thank you to the governor, to our marshal leader, to our attorney general, especially to our police chief, for all that you've done in the last 48 hours. I want to thank each of you for coming out here today. I think you'll hear words that are important for us to heal. We're grateful that you have the presence here. I hope that everyone has an opportunity to tell a story that will connect us together again. To the men and women in law enforcement, we acknowledge your bravery, your commitment, your willingness to stand where others will not. To our healthcare providers, you did all that was possible, and we're grateful for that, that you're able to keep watch over those that are still in your care, and for those that are had to take that journey home. We're really grateful. If you had to stand in Atrium and Novant and see the kinds of things that these doctors were reaching out to do, you would be grateful as a community. I am grateful as your mayor. I want you to know that as we escorted Chief Officer Everly out, Eiley out, that the healthcare individual stood beside the wall. There were as many tears as you could imagine from the healthcare providers as it was for our officers, for the people that really understand and know this. I think that the healthcare providers were exceptional in their commitment to all of us. To the four families who gave that ultimate sacrifice, I want you to know we see you. We support you, not just today, but in the many days that are coming. Officer Eiler, his wife Ashley, his darling son Andrew, today we say our prayers as we get through this difficult time. But we as a community have to remember that at some point we have to give this back to those families, and I hope that we will all support. I want you to know that the President Biden did contact me last night to be sure that he wanted us to know that he cares about the people in this community, especially those that are no longer with us. I want to thank the mayors across this country for the texts. I've seen flowers laid at the police department's front door. I've seen words spoken that bring to all of us a sense of peace. I know that this community will continue to believe in the good, and there'll be many ways to express what we care about, especially our police and law enforcement officers. But I ask every one of you individually, let's just take a moment of silence right now and think about how we can believe in what's good, how we can believe and support those families that will need us so much in the future. Charlotte isn't going to be the last place that this happens, but Charlotte will be the place that will heal, with dignity and respect for everyone. Thank you very much for this time to express what we believe in this community, our values, our hope, and our prayers. Thank you.
So that was the mayor of Charlotte. Her name is Vi. Vi Lyles. And it's a very somber situation. This story, of course, should be the lead story. I mean, unprecedented that, this happened. Eight officers shot in an incident, yet it would seem that, other stories are taking precedence over this. The stupid Columbia University students. And here you have eight law enforcement officers shot, four dead, and we're worried about some tent city at Columbia University. It's sort of disheartening. There's going to be a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking, of course. What happened here? Were there mistakes made, or was this just an out-and-out ambush that the officers could not have prepared for? We don't know at this point. Let me play a little bit of this. This was the beginning of the press conference, which we missed. I got on a little...
The male suspect exited the residence with a firearm.
This will give us the details of what happened.
Last nearly 24 hours. On Monday, April 29th, 2024, members of the United States Marshals Fugitive Task Force were attempting to serve an active felony warrant on a male in a home in the 5,000 block of Galway Drive. During the encounter, the male discharged a firearm, striking multiple officers. These officers requested immediate assistance. As additional officers responded to help, the gunfire continued and more officers were struck. The male suspect exited the residence with a firearm and was shot by law enforcement officers in the front yard of the residence. In total, eight law enforcement officers were struck by gunfire. These officers were rushed to area hospitals. Three of the four injured task force officers were pronounced deceased at the hospital. On behalf of the entire Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department, our condolences go out to the Department of Adult Corrections and the United States Marshal Service. We grieve with you, and our prayers are with you. One of the four injured CMPD officers, Officer Joshua Iyer, a six-year veteran of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department, fought for his life for several hours before succumbing to his injuries yesterday evening. A law enforcement procession escorted Joshua to the medical examiner's office late last night. The investigation into this incident remains active and is being led by the CMPD Homicide Unit. Many details remain uncertain at this point. Our speakers this morning include Chief of Police, Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department, Johnny Jennings, Director of the United States Marshal Service, the Honorable Ronald Davis, Governor of the great state of North Carolina, the Honorable Roy Cooper, Attorney General of the great state of North Carolina, the Honorable Josh Stein, the Mayor of the City of Charlotte, Mayor Vi Lyles. We will take questions at the end of all of the speakers, so please hold them until then. First up, Chief Jennings.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Obviously, the past nearly 24 hours have been heavy on the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department, the Marshal Service, but heavy on our community and heavy on our country. We shared yesterday that there were a total of eight officers shot while performing their duties yesterday to simply serve a warrant. Unfortunately, four of those officers succumbed to their injuries. I want to recognize all of those officers the North Carolina Department of Adult Corrections, Samuel Pelosi, North Carolina Department of Adult Corrections, William Alden Elliott, CMPD Officer Joshua Iyer, and Deputy United States Marshal Thomas Weeks. Also, I mentioned the other officers that were injured and shot while performing their duties as well. I want to give an update on those officers and their names and how they're doing. Officer Chris Tolley is an 18-year veteran of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department in recruit class 149. He underwent surgery last night. He's still recovering in the hospital, but he is in stable condition. Officer Mike Giglio, a 3-year-old CMPD veteran and member of the recruit class 188. He was treated with a gunshot wound injury at the hospital and released yesterday. Officer Jack Blowers has been with CMPD for 1 year and a member of the recruit class 194. He was also treated with gunshot wound injuries and released yesterday. Officer Joshua Campbell, who was not shot, but been with CMPD since 2020, a member of recruit class 186. He was treated for a broken foot and he was discharged this morning. I can't tell you how much I am grateful for these officers and their heroic act. We saw what I mentioned yesterday, officers going into the line of fire to save their brothers in blue who have gone down in the act of trying to keep our community safe. To me, that's truly heroic. When you hear the gunshots and the rapid fire and they're running directly into it because they know that there are people that need help and they risk their own lives to do that. As I've mentioned also, this is continuing to be an active and ongoing investigation. There's going to be some answers that aren't going to be able to be given, some questions that will linger at least for until we are able to get this investigation a little bit more complete. But I will tell you that there are, we talk about the U.S. Marshals Fugitive Task Force. There are 16 agencies that are involved in that task force. CMPD is one of those agencies. We currently have a sergeant assigned to that task force who was on the scene as well. Our investigators have worked through the night. The house is still being processed. You have to understand the amount of evidence that's going to be collected, probably well over 100 rounds of gunfire or of projectiles and casings that will be collected. But what I will say is that we did recover so far on the scene an AR-15 rifle, a 40 caliber handgun, and also additional magazines and ammo that goes both with the AR-14 and the 40 caliber handgun. We do know that the suspect that was shot and killed was the individual that was that the warrant was for and was going to be arrested for possession of firearm by a convicted felon. And we are still working through additional parts of that investigation. Two females that were inside the residence that I mentioned yesterday who came out eventually, they are fully cooperating with the investigation. They have been talked to by the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department homicide detectives. And we are not looking or interested in any additional suspects or any persons of interest. We feel like we have everyone involved that was at the house that we need to speak with. Also, indication right now is that 12 CMPD officers fired their service weapon during this incident. All 12 of those officers have been placed on administrative leave. And we'll also continue to be investigated as far as interviews, both internally and within the criminal and internal investigation, which is standard for an officer-involved shooting. So this is certainly a tragedy that's going to impact, I would say, our country for a very long time. It's a scar on Charlotte, but a scar that won't heal. We're a resilient profession and a resilient city, and we will certainly get through this, but it will take time and it will take support from all of our community as our officers continue to keep our community safe, even through this tragedy. So thank you, and we'll turn it over. I'll turn it over back to Lieutenant Petras.
Thank you, Chief. Our next speaker is the Director of the United States Marshal Service.
We actually, this is where we came in when I missed Chief Jennings. A lot of questions, obviously, in this case, a lot of questions that I have, a lot of questions I'm sure all you guys have. This is unprecedented. When in this country's history, or do we have 8 police officers shot, 4 dead in one incident? Yet it's not, I guess the news, this isn't a big enough story for them. They still want to cover Columbia University. You know, it's like, it's just absolutely horrific. And about the investigation, now, that's one of the things we really want to know. And right now, all I know is that this perpetrator, and I'll put a picture of him up on the screen, his name is Terry Clark Hughes Jr. He has an extensive criminal history. He was wanted. There is the DOA perp Terry Clark Hughes Jr. He's on the screen. That's the thumbnail for the show. When they went to apprehend him, and you got to remember that the U.S. Marshals Fugitive Enforcement Division is the very best at apprehending fugitives, and they do this all over the country. But yet this, I would say he's a, I'm not really sure he's a career criminal. I know I saw when they had his record, there was at least 10 or 12 arrests, but he was wanted for felony gun possession by a felon. So if there's a weakness in the system, it's not putting these felons in prison that are wanted, a felon wanted for felonious possession of firearms. And here they go to enforce this arrest warrant, and he comes out banging with an AR-15. I mean, just absolutely, absolutely horrific. And, you know, as an investigation like this, this happened at approximately 1:30 in the afternoon yesterday. There's going to be lots of questions that are going to remain unanswered for a while. You heard Chief Jennings from the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department say that at least 12 officers from the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department fired their weapons. The other thing we're hearing, and it's not been cleared up, is that this perpetrator, again, I'll put his picture up on the screen, Terry Clark Hughes Jr., he was killed by police on the lawn, yet gunfire still was coming out of the house. So we understand they have 2 females that are taken into custody. Were they shooting also? Are they being charged with murder? Are they being accessories to murder? These are some of the questions we have that right now there's no answers to. We understand there was over 100 spent shells on the scene. So how many were fired by the perpetrators? How many were fired by the police? Those are some of the things we don't know. I'm going to play this from a local TV station that may have answers to some of these questions.
Investigative team has been digging into any warrants or information about the suspect tied to this incident.
Yeah. Nate Morbido joins us now with more on all of this. Nate, what are you learning?
Well, I think so much of the outrage we're hearing is that this man had such a lengthy record. And just to kind of give you an example, I have 9 pages worth of court cases. Wow. Throughout North Carolina. At a minimum, I'm suspecting there are a couple more. You know, we know from what police have said that they were trying to serve some warrants out of Lincoln County. And I've been on the phone throughout the day with both Lincoln County and another county's clerk, trying to make some sense of, okay, what was this warrant? Why did it originate there? It was for possession of a firearm by a felon.
Why was he in Charlotte?
That's a great question. And we're really curious about that because he was arrested in Charlotte in 2021 during the pandemic. He had some charges there that were eventually dismissed, tied to marijuana, fleeing, eluding arrest. But other than that, it's really kind of a mystery why he was here in the first place, because he seems to be, based on what we've been able to find, from kind of north of Durham area, kind of closer to Virginia. And he has quite a lengthy kind of court history in that area. I should tell you that he had a court date last year for a charge out of Person County. And I want to make sure I get this absolutely right. It originated in 2021. Remember, the Mecklenburg County case is originated in 2021, too. And this was for possession of a firearm by a felon and possession of marijuana. He didn't show.
See, you know, just to stop the news reporter right there, this is the weakness in our country right now. This is the weakness in our system. It's the unwillingness of certain politicians and the laws in their states, in their counties, to put bad guys in prison. They want to keep them out there and just have them prey on the innocent. And in this instance, 8 officers shot, 4 dead because of the policies of some of these jurisdictions.
Show up to court. So he was wanted, number one, there's an arrest warrant for him. We know out of Pearson County for that specific issue. And who knows if they were able to find him, what would have happened? I mean, look at our court system right now, how delayed things are. And I'm still trying to get some bond documents, too, to figure out if there were concerns, if this man was a flight risk. I'll tell you, too, there's a reason he's a felon to begin with. 2009, convicted of breaking and entering, among many other things, in Alamance County. That's east of Greensboro. Our sister station up there, our contact partner, WFMY, reported that he led police on a high-speed chase.
Yeah, if we have his photo, we should pop his photo back up. So sure.
If you were listening to the press conference, you know, someone asked that specific question, should he have even been out? And Chief Johnny Jennings talked about how overwhelmed the court system is now.
That's his picture up on the screen. Terry Clark Hughes Jr., you know, wanted for a felony possession of a firearm. Fugitive enforcement goes to the scene to apprehend this guy, and they're met with gunfire from an AR-15. You know, as much as the Fugitive Enforcement Division, the U.S. Marshals, are the best at this, you can't always prepare for every eventuality. You can be surprised, and they apparently were taken by surprise at the firepower that he had.
It was his longest pause with press.
It was his longest pause. Yes.
And he came back and he said, "I think we're overwhelmed. I don't have an answer."
And I think he also said, "I could tell you so many other cases of people that shouldn't be out as well." And I think that's my point, too. If they had arrested him on that outstanding charge kind of north of Durham, would he have even gone to trial? But maybe he would have been held in the jail there while he was awaiting trial. It's hard to say. We're still trying to figure out a lot of this. And I'll tell you, you know, many of his prior charges were dismissed as well. And I think some people are angry about that. You know, a lot of times it comes down to evidence. If prosecutors have evidence in these cases, do they have cooperating witnesses? Are these cases that they're pursuing? Some of his Mecklenburg County charges, for example, were marijuana charges. And I've reported extensively that the DA has said, "I'm not going to go after these Mecklenburg County marijuana charges." So there's that too. And I think what also is so interesting, and this should tell you a lot about this man, at least from what marshals have told us. I worked in Tennessee for a long time. My friends at WBIR in Knoxville talked to a U.S. Marshal there, an actual U.S. Marshal right now, David Jolly. He's in the Eastern District of Tennessee. And he was trying to explain what these task forces do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he says they are going after the most violent people. That is what they're mandated to do. Let's take a listen to him if we can.
We're out there going after the worst of the worst. And, you know, some of these guys are, you know, they're not good guys, you know. So we try to tactically handle situations so that minimizes any opportunities for the people we're going after to shoot at us or turn into a bad situation or those kind of things. But sometimes they happen because that's the type of people that we're dealing with.
Last night, I was talking about kind of a rise in shootings of police officers. The Fraternal Order of Police wants people to know this is still very much a dangerous job. In fact, last year, 2023, reached a new high of police officers shot on the job, up by almost 50 shootings.
Wow.
And a good portion of those were kind of targeted surprise attacks. kind of somewhat of what we're hearing about in this kind of case.
Because it sounds like, according to the chief, it sounds like one of the reasons they thought that it might be a second shooter, because it sounds like he was shooting from above, from those dormer windows we saw in the house, down on the officers, not only from the back, but also the front, before he then came out the front of the house, is where police say he was shot and killed.
And that's really the big question that remains now. The two women that were in the house, he said they are cooperating, but he hasn't ruled them out. One was 17, one was older, and they said it will come out, but they haven't released what exactly their relationship is with him yet.
We also don't know why they chose that time of day to serve the warrant. I mean, you know, I know people in the police world who will tell you in the morning sometimes is good. You catch them off guard. But maybe they had information that he would be there right then and there, and they thought that would be the best time. Because what ended up happening is, beyond the tragedy of all these lives lost, it was incredibly disruptive. And I think a lot of people are wondering, and when we were hearing from people already, like, we want you to ask the tough questions. It's okay to have great sympathy for what is happening right now. Exactly. And I think that's just really important. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to understand, did the system fail these officers?
Beyond of what just happened yesterday, and it looks like we're still sort of piecing those things together, the bigger problem, people would benefit, including us, going back and rewatching the last 3 minutes of TV and you explaining his history and his rap sheet and his falling between the cracks, because it's not just one case this happens to.
Right.
This happens every single day in every single city and all across the country.
Basically what Chief Johnny Jennings was saying. Exactly.
This won't be the last time, I think he said.
It won't be.
Like that.
All right, Nate, thanks.
Nate, thank you.
And as we continue to learn more about yesterday's tragedy.
So this is, you know, we're going to keep learning more about this tragic situation that happened in Charlotte, Mecklenburg, North Carolina. Just to recap, 8 officers were shot by a perpetrator by the name of, I'll put him up on the screen. He's DOA, Perp Terry Clark Hughes Jr., a wanted felon. They had an arrest warrant for felony gun possession. The news reporters asked questions like, why did they serve the arrest warrant at 1:30 in the afternoon? Well, they had information he was there. You know, that's what you go. The perp's there, let's go. We got a green light. You can't do what, you know, the news comes up with ideas, and they're okay. They ask tough questions, but let's use common sense. The police want to go there when the perpetrator is there. He's there. So why would we wait till the middle of the night or early morning when he's in? Well, maybe we could get him in his bed. But they obviously had information. These warrants that are conducted, these arrest warrants by the U.S. Marshals, they do this for a living. This is their job. They're outstanding at it. And bad things can happen, as happened here. And you see the officers on the screen from Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department, Officer Joshua Iyer, Officer William Alden, I believe it is, Elliott, Officer Samuel Poloche, and the fourth officer is from the U.S. Marshals Task Force also, and he's been identified as Officer Thomas Weeks. So they have information in regards to that. So a recap. 8 law officers were shot on Monday, 4 fatally as the U.S. Marshals Fugitive Enforcement Task Force went to serve a warrant in Charlotte, North Carolina. The police said in one of the deadliest days for law enforcement in recent years. At around 1:30 p.m., this is according to the New York Times, members of the task force went to serve a warrant on a person for being a felon in possession of a firearm. This is according to Johnny Jennings, the chief of police of the Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department. And he said it at a news conference on Monday. When they approached the residence, the suspect, later identified as Terry Clark Hughes Jr., fired at them with an AR-15 style rifle and a 40 caliber handgun from the second floor of a house. The officers returned fire and struck Mr. Hughes. He's 39 years old. He was pronounced dead in the front of the residence. As the police approached the shooter, Chief Jennings told reporters the officers were met with more gunfire from inside the home. After a long standoff, two women in the home were taken to a police station to be interviewed, the police later said in a statement. Today is an absolute tragic day for the city of Charlotte and for the profession of law enforcement, Chief Jennings said. Today we lost some heroes that are simply trying to keep our community safe. And all four members of the task force were shot, three of whom died. Now it's four have died. The North Carolina Department of Adult Corrections said in a statement that two of its veteran officers, Sam Peloche and Alden Elliott, were killed. The U.S. Marshals Service confirmed that one of its deputy marshals, Thomas Weeks, was among those killed. The task force is made up of officers from multiple agencies. Four members of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department were also shot, one of whom died from his injuries on Monday night. That's Officer Joshua Iyer. Joshua Iyer had been with the Mecklenburg Police Department for 6 years, and he was helping other officers arrest the suspect when he was shot, the police said. He fought for several hours for his life, but passed away from his injuries with his wife and family by his side, Chief Jennings said in a statement posted to social media on Monday evening. I'm truly grateful for his bravery, service, and ultimate sacrifice, according to the chief. There's no other way to describe this. It's just a horrifically tragic incident, incidents that are happening far too frequently these days. When I say far too frequently, it just seems that every time every new news report is that another officer has been shot. And you know, we have to question as to why. Why is this happening? Why do perpetrators feel so confident about that they can shoot at officers, and they do shoot? There doesn't seem to be any type of fear in the minds of these police officers, the minds of these perpetrators to shoot at police officers. Just absolutely horrific that these things occur. We can show you some of the actual press conference from yesterday, from today, and it gives you just, you know, if you're not from a police family, or you can still feel the heaviness and the sorrow and the big deal that this is, you know, yet, you know, this should be a national story, you know. 8 officers shot in Charlotte and Mecklenburg Police Department, Charlotte, North Carolina. And yet it seems to, it'll be in and out. It'll be in and out as a story, and it'll be taken off the front pages, replaced by other things.
This breaking news from overnight, officials identifying 3 of the officers shot and killed after a dramatic ambush in East Charlotte. Just take a look at your screen, a CMPD officer and 3 U.S. Marshals losing their lives in the line of duty. Welcome to a special edition of WCNC Charlotte To Go. I'm Sarah French in the WCNC Charlotte studios.
And I'm Ben Thompson, live outside CMPD headquarters here in Uptown. I just wanted a collective grief across Charlotte and really beyond, in the Carolinas, across the country. 4 officers dead trying to protect our community, and 4 families whose lives are going to be changed just forever. And this morning we are getting some new details about the suspect shot and killed by officers. We now know CMPD says Terry Hughes Jr. was wanted on several felony charges out of Lincoln County. Dramatic scene leading to a total of 8 officers being shot. The horrific scene unfolding just about 16 hours ago when gunshots erupted in an East Charlotte neighborhood.
They bust. Oh my God.
The scene leading to major road closures, modified lockdowns for students and families left sheltering in place. We have live team coverage this morning. Kia Murray and Destiny Richards are standing by with what we know about the lives lost. But let's begin with WCNC Charlotte's Richard Devane. He's live in that East Charlotte neighborhood near the home where this all went down. Richard, what's the latest on the investigation?
I don't hear anything. Okay, you're talking to me. I'm sorry, guys. I don't have IFB, so they're telling me to speak. Now I will speak. I'm right up the street from where this incident happened yesterday. I'll step out of the way, let you see as police start to take away the crime scene tape. You see a big truck pulling out of where all of this seemed to have started yesterday. It all happened about 1 o'clock, a little after 1:30 yesterday, as you see police still removing this tape. They've been walking around this morning, still preserving the scene, collecting evidence. Of course, they'll go over this for the next several days. As we look at video, this was the scene yesterday when all of this unfolded. Right here on the 5,000 block of Galway Drive, officers came to serve that arrest warrant. The task force, I should say, came to serve that arrest warrant on Terry Clark Hughes Jr., the 39-year-old. They wanted him for possession of a firearm by a felon. According to the police, when officers approached the house, that's when Hughes opened fire. Officers were able to return fire, killing Hughes. But as they approached him, according to Chief Johnny Jennings, says that someone from inside the house started shooting and that wounded several other officers. Of course, those officers were rushing to the aids of those first initial task force officers who had been wounded. After a tense standoff with the two women inside, the police took them away for questioning. It was a 17-year-old and a woman, two women, and one was 17 years old, I should say. Of course, as this is, you can well imagine, leaving everyone numb and a loss for words. Here's our mayor, Vi Lyles.
We were serving the warrant on was the individual who fired the initial shots and was deceased in the front yard at the end of all of this. We're trying to determine now what exactly occurred inside of the residence.
Yeah, and that was Chief Johnny Jennings, I should say. Basically, the mayor said this is a time that everyone needs to pull together and come together as a community, supporting those folks who protect us. Chief Johnny Jennings, as you just heard, said that he is still have those two women in custody at the LEC Center, talking to them, trying to determine exactly who was responsible for those shots that came outside of the house that injured and actually killed an additional officer, that CMPD officer. Of course, that's something that we hope to find out later today. We hope to get updates from police sometime this morning. When we do, we'll give you that information both here as well as online.
You know, folks, the investigation, these investigations can take a long time. It's nothing happens quickly. I'm wondering if, you know, the information now, the perpetrator, Terry Clark Hughes Jr., and I'll put a picture of him up on the screen again. That's a Terry Clark Hughes Jr. wanted for felony firearm possession. Now, when the Marshals Task Force went to the location, apparently they were met with gunfire. Now, the U.S. Marshals, they do this for a living. This is their job. They do this all the time. And obviously something happened that was unexpected. They were taken by surprise. Eight officers were shot, four dead, as we know today. Nothing that we could, that anyone could anticipate this occurring, but you know, the marshals do this for a living. And they're used to dealing with the worst of the worst. So something, and you don't want a Monday morning quarterback, but something obviously went wrong. The marshals, you know, they plan to do this. They making an entry into a home. Was there something wrong with the way they set up? Was there something wrong with their intelligence? Was there something wrong with the amount of people they had? All of these questions would be part of the investigation. What we know is that the results of this are horrific. Eight officers shot, four dead, we know now, four are dead. We can't even, you know, you can't, this is horrific news, And, you know, the entire nation should be mourning this tragedy. Instead, you know, we hope that the families of these officers will be taken care of, that the people of Charlotte will heal from these wounds, but that the support will go out to these police officers. One of them who is right up on the screen right now, Officer Joshua Iyer, Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department, I believe a six-year veteran of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department.
Attention all units. On behalf of Chief Jennings, I regrettably announce the end of watch for Officer Joshua Iyer. Please keep Officer Iyer's family, wife Ashley, three-year-old son Andrew, his parents, and North Tryon Division family in your prayers.
A final radio call made for Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Officer Joshua Iyer. He's one of four law enforcement officers killed in a shooting yesterday. The other three were members of a U.S. Marshals task force, two of them identified as officers from the State Department of Corrections, Samuel Peloche and William Elliott. The identity of the deputy U.S. Marshal who died, though, has not been released.
Four other law enforcement officers were also hurt in that shooting. We do know at least one Charlotte-Mecklenburg officer is in critical condition. It all started yesterday when the task force went to a home in Charlotte to serve a warrant. The suspect was identified overnight as Terry Hughes Jr. He was wanted on two charges out of Lincoln County, which is just northwest of Charlotte, possession of a firearm by a felon, and felony fleeing to elude arrest. Police say he shot at officers as they approached the home. Members of the task force fired back, hitting and killing him. Police say a second person in the home began firing at officers as well. There was a three-hour standoff. That ended with two people leaving the home and being taken in for questioning.
People in the Charlotte area still trying to wrap their mind around the violence and the tragedy. Condolences coming in from all across the country. Fox 8's Floriana Boardman joining us now live. Floriana, you're very close to where all this unfolded. Describe the scene to us.
Absolutely. Well, you can actually take a look at the house where this all happened. The front portion of the home is completely destroyed. You can see bricks everywhere, sheets, blankets, clothing falling out of the house. If you take a look up, you can see what looks like to be broken glass from bullet holes in those upper windows. It's just a reminder of the violent and tragic event that happened here. CMPD Police Chief Johnny Jennings says he can't recall anything worse that's happened in the Charlotte area. Two of the four officers killed, Sam Peloche and William Elliott, worked for the state's Department of Adult Correction for 14 years. Peloche leaves behind a wife and two children. Elliott leaves behind a wife and one child. CMPD officer Joshua Iyer died last night after fighting for his life in the hospital for hours. He was a six-year veteran with CMPD. Earlier this April, he was named the department's officer of the month. Iyer leaves behind a wife and a three-year-old son. This is a loss the entire Charlotte community is mourning.
And the most that I can ask of our community is that we honor and respect them for all the work that they've done, all the work that we will do to make it possible for our city to be safer.
Absolutely tragic. Again, we don't know the identity of the deputy U.S. Marshal who was killed. We'll keep you updated as we learn more. For now.
Well, we actually do at this point know the fourth officer on this little meme on the screen from the U.S. Marshal's office. His name is Thomas Weeks. And I believe he was an experienced officer, 12 or 13 years on the job. You know, I just want to say something from a police officer's perspective. Anyone that's been a cop knows that you can get into dangerous situations like this, but no one ever expects to go to work and get killed. You know, you don't expect that. You never, ever, we all understand the reality of it, but no one expects that to ever happen. But yet we accept that policing is a dangerous profession, but we raised our right hand and, we swore that we would protect the public. We swore that we We took an oath. And these are the most horrific things that could ever happen, you know. Folks, this is Police Off the Cuff, real crime stories. If you like real crime, true crime from a police perspective, then you're in the right place. And if you're not subscribed to us, go on our YouTube, hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, ring that bell, share us with your friends and your family. And if you want to contribute to us, we also have a Patreon with three different levels, and we have a YouTube channel membership with, count them, five different levels, and you can join our channel as a member, or you can contribute to this this channel via YouTube channel memberships. Again, this is the perpetrator who was wanted for felony gun possession yesterday afternoon at about between 1 and 1:30. The U.S. Marshals went to arrest him for an arrest warrant. They were met with gunfire, and the situation was horrific. These are the situations that across this country, you understand, or everyone should understand, the dangers that police face in doing the job of policing, that it is a dangerous profession. We know that. Let me put this up on the screen.
Throughout the morning, have been checking that area, continuing to look for any evidence, trying to put something together to understand how this tragedy unfolded. Now, it all started Monday afternoon in East Charlotte here when gunshots rang out. This on Galway Drive as the U.S. Marshals Fugitive Task Force attempted to serve an arrest warrant on Terry Clark Hughes Jr. This for possession of a firearm by a felon. According to CMPD, when officers approached the house, that's when Hughes opened fire. Officers returning fire, killing Hughes. But as they approached him, Chief Jennings says someone from inside the house started shooting at them, injuring officers who had rushed in to help. After a tense standoff, the police took the two people, women inside the house, a woman and a 17-year-old, away for questioning, leaving everyone here numb and shocked at what had happened.
That we were serving the warrant on was the individual who fired the initial shots and was deceased in the front yard. At the end of all of this, we're trying to determine now what exactly occurred inside of the residence.
And that's why they're talking to those people they have in custody. Tragically, ironically, I'm standing less than a seventh of a mile away from where the last two officers who were shot and killed in the line of duty, officers Clark and Shelton, were just up the road here, also in East Charlotte. A community still dealing with that tragedy. Now dealing with this one. We're right here in East Charlotte. Richard Vang, I'll send it back to you.
Yeah, and we're going to have a whole lot more on that case that happened some 17 years ago that so many of us, Richard, remember as it unfolded. More on that in just a second. Well, this morning, several neighbors and witnesses are catching their breath after what was just a heart-stopping day for these folks. Today, four elementary schools will welcome students back to the classroom after the gunfire forced modified lockdowns for hours. WCNC Charlotte was able to talk to some of those neighbors during the standoff as it happened. They told us police in the neighborhood was really nothing new, but they have never heard anything like what unfolded yesterday afternoon.
I asked somebody who was on the street what happened, and he said somebody's shooting. So I came out and went to a Shannon house to get into the neighborhood, because my house is apparently in the middle of the center of all of this. So coming across Shannon House, the police stop all traffic. You can't turn, you can't come down the plaza, anything. So SWAT, everybody starts coming. Apparently SWAT is pulled into our driveway. From the cameras we can see that the police are getting out their car with their guns drawn.
I heard three shots and I was like, all right, somebody's shooting. 30 seconds later, I heard like seven shots. And I was like, dang, maybe they got a new gun. 30 seconds later, I heard like 10 shots.
A day those neighbors will never forget. And as those neighbors express concerns for crime, they say they're also sending prayers for those who lost their lives. That scene, unfortunately, turning deadly for four heroes helping keep their community safe. WCNC Charlotte's Destiny Richards picks up our team coverage with details on who these officers were and the legacy they're leaving behind. Destiny.
Good morning, Ben. We're still waiting on an update on the four CMPD officers who are recovering from injuries at Atrium, Maine, but four law enforcement officers tragically killed, three of them a part of the U.S. Marshals Fugitive Task Force, and one of them was a CMPD officer. If you'll take a look at your screen, we know some information about them. Alden Elliott was a 14-year veteran with the North Carolina Department of Adult Correction. He survived by his wife and one child. Sam Peloche was also a 14-year veteran of the NCDAC. He and Elliott were both full-time members of the U.S. Marshals Carolina's Regional Fugitive Task Force. Peloche is survived by his wife and two children. Another U.S. Marshal has yet to be identified. And then late last night, CMPD announced that Officer Joshua Iyer died at the hospital from his injuries in the shooting. Now, Officer Iyer worked with CMPD's North Tryon Division for 6 years, and he is survived by his wife, Ashley, and a three-year-old son. CMPD recently awarded Iyer with an Officer of the Month Award for April. Chief Johnny Jennings acknowledged that at a press conference last night, saying he dedicated his life to protecting his community.
We'll always be indebted to Officer Iyer for his bravery and his sacrifice for this profession. I ask that you will keep him and his family and all of the others that fell victim this afternoon, keep everyone in your prayers.
And as for those four CMPD officers still recovering, we're told from Atrium, Maine this morning that CMPD would provide an update on their condition. At last check yesterday, they were in stable condition. I remember watching the presser yesterday afternoon, Chief Jennings saying their injuries were really ranging from everything from a grazed bullet to some injuries that needed more attention. But he did say they were in stable condition. We'll bring you an update once we learn more. I'll send it back to you.
So, folks, just to give you a recap, this happened at about 1:30 in the afternoon yesterday, 1 o'clock, 1:30. Eight officers were shot enforcing an arrest warrant on this individual on the screen, Terry Clark Hughes Jr., who was wanted for felony firearms possession. And as the Fugitive Enforcement, the U.S. Marshals Fugitive Enforcement Task Force approached, they were met with gunfire. Apparently now they're saying, as we've had a full day of investigation, it was an AR-15 type weapon. And after Mr. Terry Clark Hughes was shot dead on the front lawn, more gunfire came from inside the home at the offices. So that is yet to be we heard the chief, the Mecklenburg Police Department Chief Johnny Jennings, state those facts more than once. So it would be safe to perhaps to assume that the two females inside the house that were taken in, one of them was firing. That's the only other conclusion you could come to if there, in fact, was gunfire coming out of the house after the perpetrator on the screen, a DOA perp Terry Clark Hughes Jr. So there are two, and Chief Jennings described them as persons of interest. The most important thing is what you see on the screen right now. Mecklenburg Police Department Officer Joshua Iyer lost his life in yesterday's shootout after fighting through the night. Or into the night last night, fighting for his life, he succumbed to the gunshot wounds. Officer Alden William Elliott, he's described as North Carolina Department of Adult Correction. That's the agency he works for, but he works for the U.S. Marshals Task Force. That's probably volunteered to do that. And Officer Samuel Peloche. And the fourth officer is a U.S. Marshals Task Force officer by the name of Thomas Weeks. So that is all our concern should be, is for those officers, not all the other extraneous nonsense right now. Four officers have lost their lives. in one of the most horrific days for law enforcement throughout this country. Here he is, Terry Clark Hughes Jr. on the screen, wanted by the U.S. Marshals for felony gun possession. Bad guy, and that's who the U.S. Marshals Service deal with all the time. We have Officer Iyer from the Mecklenburg Police Department, Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department, a great officer. Just a tragic situation. That's all I can say, guys. That's basically my coverage for today. I tried to get here and cover the press conference live. We're a few minutes late, but I think you guys all got the gist. Very sad day yesterday and today for law enforcement, just not in Charlotte Mecklenburg, but across the nation. Folks, I'm Bill Cannon from Police Off the Cuff Real Crime Stories. Have a great day, everyone, and God bless. One episode, just ain't enough.